everybody, and welcome to Bartow Sports Zone. Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson, who is involved in a small little golf tournament. So we will give him the latitude to focus on what he's focused on, and we'll have some fun talking all things sports. Before we can dive into our first guest this morning, we got to say a big thank you to several of the sponsors who make Bartow Sports Zone possible. That includes Blackstone Realty, Styles Auto Care, St. Angelo's Pizza of Lake Point Station, Derek Strange of Edward Jones Investments, Brooks Roofing and Exteriors, Schottenkirk Honda, Latitude Blue, iWorks of Cartersville, Oak Hill Designs, Hydro Pro Wash, we've got Day Chevrolet, Sidelines Grill, All-Star Roofing, Elite Stone Supply, Zach Pritchard Injury Firm, Kelly's Pet Grooming, Asher Realty, Three Way Campers, and Karen Ayers Realtor, Atlanta Communities. Once again, Alan Sanders filling in. Normally I drive the console, but we'll also be driving some content today. Let's go ahead and welcome as well a fellow Bartow Sports Zone alum. We have got Jackson Hyde. Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Alan.
Good to have you.
Glad to be with you this morning, and we can two-man show this morning.
We're going to show the world how it's done. And our guest, the coach of the Woodland Wildcats, Brandon Haywood. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Jackson.
Good morning, Coach.
Good to have you along.
Coach, we'll just jump right into it. We'll recap last Friday's game right quick, and then we'll get into, after the break, get into the game with Dalton tonight. But you had Cass last week, strong first half and third quarter. You're midway through the third quarter there. I think it's 14-12. Tell us a little bit about what you saw and what you liked about last Friday's game.
Well, like you said, I like the fight in my team that they came out in the first half. We fought extremely hard. You know, it's been a tale of two sides with us just because we're a 5A school, but sometimes we play with like single A or double A numbers. We had three starters that went out after the first half. And then when we start losing bullets, it gets a little rough on us. But we just got to be able to step in and pick up what we can and if we don't have the set skill, we just got to continue to try to be creative and find ways. But I do like the way that they came out and played. You know, the defensive game plan was to try to limit Sokovi and Devin as much as you can. You can limit them, like you're not going to completely stop them. But that was the game plan. I think we executed that fairly well in the first half, trying to as well as contain Caden Ellis on the defensive side. You know, that was what we tried to do and tried to exploit some weak areas on the perimeter as well as interiorly, trying to run away from him a little bit. But, you know, I'm proud of what they done. I'm proud of the fight that they showed. It's just got to be – we got to go ahead and try to get out early so we have some room for error in the second half where I know we start getting a little fatigued and tired. But – at the same time, you know, I got a chance for my team to fight through those times.
Yeah, Coach, I was impressed. Obviously, I was on your sideline last Friday night. I thought the attitude was positive. I thought you guys fought really hard. And as you mentioned, you had a few injuries early in the game, key injuries. I know Isaiah Livesey's been battling with a lower leg injury all year. Mm-hmm. But you had a couple of guys step up. Cam Williams, for one, on that one drive there. Drove it down, really played some key minutes for you on offense. Was there any other guys that you want to mention that maybe stepped up due to those injuries?
I like Jay Walker. You know, Jay Walker had a long completion. I really can't say he steps up because he is a two-way starter for us, but he had to play a different position. I had to move him to Zay's side, and he had to fill in at that running back, and Cam came in and filled in at his. He Tatum as well. He had to play a little. He's been playing deep back for us, but he had to play a little wing for us. Number 23, who caught the screen pass for a touchdown. Those guys, I'm extremely proud of them and how they stepped in. And it was a lot of communication going on the sideline, just trying to get them kids lined up in the right place and execute the plays. That as soon as they went down, our whole game plan kind of went down of what we had been doing all week. So that was, you know, battle tested. That's just another piece of adversity that we had to get over. But like I said, I tip my hats to my kids, man. They're going to play extremely hard. They play focused. I just, you know, when they get tired, it gets a little hard on us, especially in this brutal region that we're in. But we're going to continue to keep battling, continue to keep fighting, and just try to claw out some wins.
Coach, I got a quick question here for you. Of course, we're monitoring all the games. One of the areas that I would want to know how you guys maybe handled some practice this week had to do with some of the special teams with the number of blocked punts or blocked kicks, and those are points on the board.
Absolutely. That's an error on us. And, you know, last week we only kind of went over PAT field goal kind of once, and that was like on Thursdays. And that's a coaching error on myself. It's got to be something that we do at least twice, maybe three times a week. And we stress that this week, you know, it's adversity as well as us, Cass, Daresville, like all being on fall break this week. So we had adversity is just getting your kids there in the morning. But thankfully, everybody was there for us. But we really dialed in on special teams and how to be efficient on that, and just continue to make some detailed plans and how we should execute special teams wise. So it's a couple of different changes, but, you know, hopefully we don't have to go through that again, because we hopefully dotted our I's and crossed our T's in that department.
Coach, one more question before we go to our first break. Go ahead and kind of step into the season coming forward. If you can find me a team with a harder schedule than Woodland for these last four ball games this year, I'll sing at your next wedding. But what's the mindset going forward? Obviously, probably going to be an underdog if you look at the rankings and the Maxwell projections. What's your message to your team going forward for the rest of the season?
Same thing I told them on Monday. You know, like we kind of make the schedule. I didn't make this one, but coaches have the leisure to kind of make the schedule at the beginning of the season. I said, I don't make the region. And we know what region we in, and we know the competition that we have to play each and every Friday. My thing is, like, can we win small details? Can we win a quarter? Then can we win a half? Then can we win three, possibly four? It's just, like, how hard are you willing to fight to win in any area of the game?
We're here with Coach Brandon Haywood. We're having a great time on Bartow Sports Zone, but we do need to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. And welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson as Charles is swinging some clubs today. We've got Jackson Hyde joining, and our guest this first segment is the coach of the Woodland Wildcats. We have got Brandon Haywood joining us. Coach, welcome back. Thanks for being with us. Jackson, always fun on a Friday, but we finally have a taste of fall in the air.
Oh, yes. I'm so looking forward to tonight's weather and tonight's atmosphere, both at Wyman Stadium and down at on the banks of the Etowah, as they say there in Woodland. It's going to be a fun night. It's going to feel like football weather tonight, that's for sure.
Coach, talk a little bit about the weather, and I guess you can't really coach it until you're through it, but as for your kids, we start off, it's so hot, you're going through summer practice, and all of a sudden you get your first cold snap, you're going to get some gustier winds. I guess it's just part of the game.
It is, and it kind of helps us a little bit. You know, it's not the sun beating down on us and, you know, increasing our dehydration. Granted, still got kids last week, and I think fair conditions of weather, cramping. And I think that's just a lack of taking care of our bodies. So that's another thing. That's another stress that's been talked about throughout the week, just making sure that we stay hydrated. But we definitely need it, you know. Played in week two when it was about 100 degrees at kickoff for everybody. So I think this is what we need for our bodies, our minds. Feels like football weather, like you said. So I'm just ready to kind of play in this fair weather.
Coach, let me ask you this, and then we'll get over to Jackson. This was actually fall break for the county. How do the students and how do you as a coach deal with the fact that the kids don't have a regular schedule leading into this week, this game?
Well, you know, it's hard for, like, routine purposes anyway. It's also hard. We practice every morning this week. So you just kind of, you know, you kind of antsy about who's going to show, like, what's going to happen, whose alarm is not going to go off. Thankfully, we didn't have anybody really miss this week, especially guys that we depend on as starters for the night game. We had probably 85% of attendance there. So that was good for us. We got a lot of things accomplished, but it's hard getting kids out of routine and having them doing something different. It's hard playing a football game over fall break because you're worried about that attendance. You're worried about crowd attendance for Friday night. But control what you can control and make the best of it.
Coach, we'll jump right into tonight's game. You've got the Dalton Catamounts led by Kit Carpenter coming into town. Anybody who follows high school football knows Tyson Greenwade was a running back up at Dalton last year and was about 80% of that offense. Honestly, coming into the season, I kind of thought that would be a team that might be down a little bit. They started the season 4-0. They're coming off two losses, still scored a lot of points. High scoring offensive team, even without Greenwade. What's your game plan going into the Catamount game tonight?
Try to limit them on offense. You know, we talked about it. You know, Tyson Greenway probably was the leading rusher in the state last year, but he's probably the best thing that happened for them this season just by him not being there. Last year, he was such a centralized focus that the whole offense went through that kid where he touched the ball probably 30, 35 times a game. This year, they're so much more balanced. They're throwing it everywhere. They're getting number two, Adrian, involved in the run game as well as number one, you know, just a little speed slot guy, but they're just a more balanced football team in terms of getting the football in different people's hands. Defensively, you know, they're going to be physical at the point of attack. They're going to play sound. You know, they're a little chippy on the back end in the secondary. Right now, you know, it just look like a really good balanced football team. So we're just going to try to find matchup problems with people, like our people against their people. Schematically, how we drew up things offensively is solely based on matchup problems. So any good matchup that we see on the perimeter or inside, we're going to try to attack that. Defensively, we're just going to try to take away the three things that they like to do well and try to make them go to the fourth and fifth option, which for them, you know, they'll probably get into that pretty quickly, you know, because they have no – They have no limitations on who they get the football to. So we just, like last week, we're just going to try to limit what they do and try to limit who they use and try to keep it clean. Let it come down to a take or two.
Right. And you mentioned the high scoring offense. I know they've you know, scored 39, I think, points last week against Hiram in a 49-39 loss. Is it a game offensively do you go into? Is it a, you want to try to control the clock? Maybe limit their possessions. Is that part of the game plan as well?
I think so. Last year, first drive of the game, we held the ball for 9 minutes and 30 seconds. It's our longest drive all season. It's got to be well, – we will hold the ball for 9 minutes this time. Who knows? But it's definitely going to be imperative that we keep their offense off the field. We got to be really smart in our offensive play calls, and we got to stay on schedule, trying to pick up 4 yards a pop just to keep our defense off, and that'll help us with our fatigue issues. But, yes, it's definitely trying to control the clock, control the ball, and keep their high-power offense off the field.
Coach, you mentioned it's fall break. Kids are not in school today. Tell us a little bit about your schedule. What's going into tonight's game? What time you got them getting there? I know the routine's going to be different, but I'm kind of go over with the listeners the plan for tonight for you.
Well, this morning, I decided to let them sleep in for the first time this week. So they'll sleep in. Like we talked about a while ago, you know, I'm scared about the time that they went to bed. But you can't keep tabs on that. It's just, you know, it's a kid being a kid. But they are getting together this morning. They're doing a little team bonding. They're going to eat breakfast this morning. A couple of starters are, which I like. We won't get started. Coaches will be up there a little early. Everybody will come around 2 o'clock. We'll kind of decompress, do a couple of walkthroughs. We'll eat around 3:30 and just kind of try to keep everything as consistent as possible after that time. So after 3:30 gets here and we do our pregame meal, everything will kind of roll into play of a normal Friday. But we're going to bring them in early around 2 o'clock and just try to monitor them, get them off their feet, and just kind of go through some small details of what we need to do to be successful tonight.
Well, Coach, good luck tonight. Woodland fans, listeners out there this morning, 7:30 at Woodland versus the Dalton Catamounts. It's going to be a good night for football, good weather. It's going to have a little taste of fall. I encourage all the Woodland Wildcat fans to get out and support those guys tonight. Big region game. Good luck tonight, Coach.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you so much. All right, folks, we are winding down to the bottom of the hour. We got to get you caught up on some statewide headlines now, courtesy of the Georgia News Network. And then guess what? Our next guest will be another football coach. We're going to have Coach Steve Gates of the Cass Colonels joining us for an old-fashioned rivalry game right in Cartersville. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Bartow's Sports Zone. It's part of Bartow's Morning News every Friday during the active school year. And joining us now for the back half of Hour 1, we have got Coach Steve Gates of the Cass Colonels. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Coach. Cass Colonels, since we've talked to you last on the air, two straight wins over MLK and 2 weeks ago, and then Woodland last week. Tell us a little bit about how you felt coming out of those two games. I think the MLK game kind of went as expected. The Woodland game, maybe not in that first half or first two quarters and a half. Let us know what the mindset of the team is and how you felt about those two games.
Yeah, you know, MLK was kind of up in the air a little bit. They kind of played some pretty good football in the previous few weeks. I think Winder Barrel is a top 10 team, and they lost 29-28 to them. And then they got beat by a not so good team. So we kind of didn't know what to expect with them. And we played pretty well. Still to date, we're going on week 7, and we haven't put four quarters together. So, which alludes to what you said about the Woodland game as well, is, you know, we came out flat, didn't play very good football at all in the first half. And, you know, I wasn't upset with the kids at halftime. I was disappointed in some things and just told them this is going to tell what type of team we are, what type of program we are, what type of coach I am, what type of players you are, of how we respond to this adversity in the second half, because we did not play very good football. So one of these days, Jackson, I hope we put four quarters of football together, because it's going to be pretty exciting to watch.
You mentioned the start against Woodland. Looking back at the game, it's hard to not say maybe the key player of the game would have been Caden Ellis. We gave him the ball on short field a couple times there in the first half. He's able to come up with some big plays with the field goal blocks and an extra point block. Anybody else in these past couple of weeks on the defensive side of the ball that stepped up a little bit for you?
JD, we call him JD, but Jeremiah DeRochet, he's had a couple weeks back to back where he's just now starting to understand that he can be the hammer and not the nail. He's starting to play fast, play physical. And, you know, like you said with Caden, you know, he's I don't want to use the word unblockable because he gets blocked. But when the game's on the line or something needs to happen and Caden Ellis, uses his twitch and his explosiveness, he is extremely difficult to block. So I'd probably say JD and Caden Ellis are playing pretty good football right now.
So we're in through six ball games, a 4-2 record. I've heard you say it many times. Every week is a nameless, faceless opponent. So take who you've played away, take the record away. How do you feel about your team at this point in the season? Are you where you thought you would be? Are you a little behind or a little ahead of where you thought you'd be at this point?
No, I think we have yet to play a full game. You know, I'm excited to see that when it happens. You know, I want us to put four quarters together. We had a great week of practice this week, and I started putting a little chart on my whiteboard outside my office where the kids come by every day, and we're putting check marks on days. And if we had a good day of practice, I'm putting a check mark. And the days like Woodland, we didn't have a good Tuesday at all. Well, we didn't play very well in the first half against Woodland. So we had four good days this week. So that hasn't happened very much this year. We've had four straight great days of practice. It's happened, but not very often. So I'm kind of just waiting for, you know, and we got the big four coming up, Dalton, Cartersville, Calhoun, and Hiram to make the playoffs or not to make the playoffs. So we'll see what happens. The kids are excited. I'm excited. We'll see what happens.
So it's no secret. Midway through the Rockmart game, the second game of the season, pretty much the primary running back turned into number seven, Devin Henderson. I don't know. I think he's close to 700 yards since that point in the season. Has that been a key catalyst for your offense, getting Devin in the backfield?
Absolutely. You know, he's a dynamic player. You need the ball in his hands. He loves defense. He loves playing safety. He loves hitting. But at the end of the day, I know Devin smiles when the football's in his hands. So, obviously, that's the quickest, easiest, fastest way to get the ball in his hands is put him at running back. And I kind of went to Coach McCorder, our OC, during that, you know, like you said, the second half of that Rockmart game, and I kind of just said, hey, I think we need to put seven at running back and get the ball in his hands. And he agreed, and it kind of went from there. And he's averaging .170 a game, somewhere in there, two or three, four touchdowns a game. I don't even know what it is, but he's a special football player. So we're gonna ride him.
Coming up on our first break, Coach, but tonight's game will be obviously broadcast live on WBHF, but a little something different. Tell us a little bit about what we got tonight as far as a TV game.
Yeah, it's Peachtree Sports Network. It's the first ever game on it. It's some big new network that's broadcasting all throughout the state, if I'm not mistaken. It's not just a local type of situation where it's just on one TV station. So it'll be on several stations, and we're excited to work with Sport Atlanta on it.
Got to take a break. When we come back, we'll chat more with Coach Steve Gates along with Jackson Hyde, part of Bartow Sports Zone, and maybe even throw in a question. When you got a TV game, what does that do for your timing and rhythm with those TV timeouts? We'll have more when we come back to Bartow Sports Zone. Welcome back to Bartow Sports Zone. Alan Sanders here, filling in for Charles Wilson. We've got Jackson Hyde. Our guest is Coach Steve Gates of the Cass Colonels. Coach, before we went to the break, talked about tonight's game. Not only is it going to be simulcast on our AM and the FM and streaming, but we also found out it's going to be a televised game. As far as coaching your kids and the TV timeouts, how does that, if any way, affect your gameplay?
Well, it's exposure. It's a great opportunity. When it was presented to us and Coach Foster a week or two ago, of course, both of us think the same in a lot of those ways of getting our kids exposure and putting it on TV so a lot of people can see it, you know, live, and it'll be fun. TV timeouts, they just add. It kind of drags out the game a little bit, but it's part of it.
Coach, no secret, Cartersville Cass game tonight at Wyman Stadium. Kickoff has been, due to the TV game, moved to 8 p.m. I know your attitude is it's week seven, not necessarily who you play, but how your team plays as it goes. But tell us a little bit about what you've seen on film of Cartersville and what you expect out of those guys tonight.
You know, I've been asked a lot this week from some other people and stations and media, and the best way to describe it is you know, Coach Foster, he's lost coaches, he's lost players, and they're still Cartersville, and it's pretty impressive what he's done and been able to maintain and keep on a year-to-year basis. That it's just a machine. They just put in the next group of kids and they just keep winning and they keep executing and they keep doing what they do. And you know, just the utmost respect for Coach Foster. It really is. It's impressive. A lot of people around here don't like, you know, Cartersville from the Cass area and stuff. And, you know, I just maybe not growing up in this particular area, you know, and having some other big rivalries in my day with the McEacherns and the North Cobbs and Kells and Carrolltons and those type of things that, you know, It is. It's week seven of region. It's the next region game to me. You know, that's it's. But no, Cartersville's good. They're good. They're fun to watch.
You mentioned Coach Foster and the way he's able to just reload, not rebuild at any point in his time. Is it no secret? It's a 50th meeting between Cass and Cartersville, dating back to the first time back in the 60s. It's been a one-sided contest, four wins for Cass in those 49 previous meetings. Does that ever come up? The players' attitude going into this week, is it compared to your previous times playing Cartersville, what the attitude seemed like from the team?
No, you know, it's they're just good, you know, and I've learned in my years of athletics and competition is you got to tip your hat to that. You know, it's a city school. Do they have some advantages in some ways? Some would say, you know, being able to bring in as many kids and however they want to do it. You know, they got to use a multiplier and all that type of stuff to get in our classification. So, you know, I don't have any anger or anything like that towards them. You know, the kids, and let me emphasize, there's parents as well, and there's people, alumni and stuff that dislike Cartersville, and Cartersville people dislike Cass and all that type of stuff. But, you know, Coach Foster and I, you know, I know our kids respect their kids. I know our kids know that they're good. So to me, that's what matters. You know, it's the respect factor and competition, and they're very good. We're good. We have to play very well tonight to be in this ball game.
Any particular factor or portion of the game that's going to be key to use, or something we can look at early to see maybe how the game's going to trend as it goes forward?
Just you know, figuring out how they're going to line up is big. You know, they're well coached, and they, you know, don't just sit back and do a certain thing on either side of the ball. They run the ball extremely well. They pass the ball. They're physical. They're athletic. You know, it's always been, you know, Cartersville's middle group and bottom tier of their 22 are as good as anybody. Their 17th best player is just as good as their third best player. There is no weak spots on their team. So, again, it goes back to the machine part of it is there's no weak spots. You can't go pick on somebody. You can't say, hey, let's throw at this kid. So it's going to be a fun task. It's competition. It's there, you know, in some polls, they're number one in the state. So we'll see what happens.
Well, it's an exciting night. It's going to be good weather. We encourage everyone to come out tonight to Wyman Stadium. Again, an 8 p.m. kickoff due to the TV game. Broadcasted live, obviously, here on WBHF. Coach, thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely. Y'all have a great day. Go Colonels.
All right, there we are. We're going to wind ourselves up to the top of the hour, get you caught up on some Fox News, local news, weather and traffic, and then we've got another hour of Bartow's Morning News, or this is Bartow Sports Zone, coming your way. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of Bartow Sports Zone. I'm Alan Sanders, filling in for Charles Wilson, who's swinging some clubs today, and we're having some fun swinging from the rafters here in the studios of WBHF. Always fun to have a little monkey business, talking a little sports. Before we can go further with our discussions, we've got to say thank you to our sponsors, the folks who help make Bartow Sports Zone a possibility. That includes Blackstone Realty, Day Chevrolet, Styles Auto Care, Sidelines Grill, St. Angelo's Pizza at Lake Point Station, All-Star Roofing, Derek Strange of Edward Jones Investments, Elite Stone Supply, Rooks Roofing and Exteriors, Zach Pritchard Injury Firm, Schott & Kirk Honda, Kelly's Pet Grooming, Latitude Blue, Asher Realty, iWorks of Cartersville, Three Way Campers, Oak Valley Designs, Karen Ayers, Realtor, Atlanta Communities, and Hydro Pro Wash. I'm Alan Sanders. We've got Jackson Hyde, and let's bring in a third member now to chat a little bit. We have got Mike Garcia in studios. Mike, good morning to you.
Since when do we have rafters at WBHF? You said we're swinging from the rafters here.
Yeah.
There's no rafters here.
Pull up those ceiling tiles. You'll find them.
Okay.
Jackson, good morning to you as well.
Good morning, Mike. Glad you could join us this morning.
Yes. Glad to be here.
I figured our first topic of conversation, we had some wild card games, and Mike was vested in one of those teams but got eliminated, which sets the what's going to happen with the Atlanta Braves on Saturday. Mike, let's recap a little bit of what you and I chat about it in the first hour. You knew going in the Marlins weren't exactly at peak health.
No, but, you know, even if they were at peak health, they didn't have the offense at all. They didn't have the offense all season, as it was duly noted in the Now, granted, whenever I take these, I hear these stats, I take it with a grain of salt because they're saying, well, in history of the MLB postseason, they're the team that had the worst run differential ever. I'm like, yeah, well, this was only year two in which there was two additional teams. So, of course, you're going to bust records when you add additional teams. But, yeah, look, I mean, Zach Wheeler was on game one. I'm not sure when he's scheduled to pitch against the Braves. It might be in game two. It's an interesting series because the game one is Saturday, and then they have another off day before game two on Monday, which could help the Braves because Max Fried would be, I would think, the game two starter who is dealing with a blister. So it gives them an even more extra of a day to go ahead and make sure that's been taken care of.
Jackson, I'll kick it over to you talking about the Atlanta Braves. It's probably the first thing that we want to, you know, spend a little time on, given that they've been sitting back for the last several days. They don't play again until Saturday. They're going to take on the Phillies. You heard Mike say it's a little weird opening to have one game Sunday, excuse me, Saturday, then skip Sunday, go to Monday. Your thoughts on this season, on this matchup?
Yeah, it's the matchup that I kind of assumed we would happen. Phillies are a scary team. They may scare me a little more even than the Dodgers do for some reason. I just worry about their pitchers, their front line guys, and if they're on, they're hard to deal with. Now, obviously, the bats in the Braves lineup is something. But that the day off, like Mike mentioned, I think that's a benefit as far as free, giving him an extra day to get that blister healed up and ready to go. And I was kind of impressed with Snicker's schedule this week. You know, played a lot of inter-squad type games to kind of keep the guys in a routine, which I think is important. I think that's been an issue for teams, maybe even the Braves a couple of years ago in the past.
Yeah, I fully agree. I say a lot, baseball is a game of rhythm, and yes, when you play 162 games in, what, 185 days or something, you're going to have some wear and tear. I don't care how young and how good of an athlete you are, but there is something to be said about having an extended time off and then getting back in there. I mean, that's why they have spring training. You can't just show up to camp and then 2 days later start the regular season. So I don't know specifics about what they were doing in these workouts, but I think it was cool that it was open to the public, and if they were kind of at least simulating live action, then I think that'll be definitely beneficial.
One of the things that I was listening to in the morning, some of the sports prognosticators talking about this matchup, maybe one of the most exciting matchups in this first round, and maybe, honestly, until you get to the World Series. Mike, a lot of people here in the Atlanta market, you heard Jackson say it. I know Matt Santini said it. This is going to be a pretty darn good head-to-head matchup between the Phillies and the Braves.
You know, I don't care about people saying that these are professional athletes. Revenge is a thing. It really is. And the Braves pounded them during the regular season, and I know you kind of have to throw out that out the window to start the postseason. But there's going to be some extra intensity in both cities. That's a cool thing about the best of five, is that you play the first two in Atlanta, and then you have to deal with the wrath of the Philadelphia fans. Now, the good thing for the Braves is, I don't remember the stat, but over the past couple of years, they had only lost two games at home in the postseason. I think over the – now, one of them was to the Phillies, but it'll be big for them to go up and try to get the first two at home before heading over to Philly.
Jackson, we've got about a little bit more than a minute and a half. Your thoughts on the matchup as far as this divisional playoff?
it's like we've said, it's intriguing. You know, kind of roles reversed a little bit. Maybe Billy might have been a favorite last year when we met him in the playoffs, and it was fun to watch that. And like Mike said, you know, you go to Philadelphia, those fans are, if there's a group of fans that can get under the skin of an opposing team, I don't think there's any better than Philly at doing that. So it's going to be fun to watch. You know, Freed's the key, in my opinion. I think that game, too, we got to get a lot of some quality innings. And I'm really not worried about our offense. It's just slowing down that Philly's offense to give ourselves a chance to win the series.
I agree. I think the biggest thing is if you're a Philly fan, you're trying to take at least one of these two games here. And if you're an Atlanta fan, you want to go to Philly 2-0 on the road. All right, we're going to take a break here. We're listening to Bartow Sports Zone here on AM 1450, 100.3 FM, WBHF. Mike Garcia, we've got Jackson Hyde. I'm Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson, and we'll be back. All right, 22 minutes past the hour. Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson on Bartow Sports Zone. And the bench warmers continue to add more butts in seats. We have Mike Garcia in studios. We've got Jackson Hyde. And now we are joined by Brad Stevens. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Alan. Glad to finally join up with y'all. I had to get a workout in. You know how it is. That's the only time I got. So went on to it, but here I am with you now, warming the bench.
Well, Mike, we were talking baseball. We were talking about the Marlins and the Phillies matchup leading to the Phillies win, now heading to the Atlanta Braves. But those aren't the only games in the divisional playoffs. What else is interesting to you as we head into this, really, after the wild card matchups?
Well, you know, the one thing that's interesting, I didn't know if you guys talked about this or not, it just astounded me, was that Tampa Bay wins 99 games and does not make the playoffs. Maybe the hottest start in the history of baseball, does not make the playoffs. That's how competitive the major leagues were this year. Top to bottom, I think it's one of the better years I've seen as far as, you know, parity in baseball. I mean, there's some dominant teams out there, but there's a bunch of them. I mean, it's a bunch of teams that could win this whole thing. And those guys, I thought, were going to be a buzzsaw and win one, and they are at home now fishing.
Well, let me correct you real quick. They were in the playoffs so quick it didn't seem like they were in the playoffs, but they were. I also want to get this out of the way, okay? I am not a Tampa fan. Being a South Florida guy, I can't stand the teams on the other coast of the state. But all the criticism they were getting over the lack of fans over the first couple of games, the Rays this season increased attendance by 27%, but when you have a game at 3 p.m. on a weekday, and then mind you, it's in St. Petersburg, not Tampa, where so people have to cross the bridge in that horrendous traffic. It's you know, of course they're not going to draw that many people, but yeah, you know, it's one of those things. They started off 13-0, and everyone says, "Oh my gosh, the Rays!" It's like, well, you know, there's, you know, 147 games left, right? So. Yeah, 13-0 start got them two and out, and against a Rangers team that, quite frankly, bounced back. They had a chance to win the division on the last day of the season. They did not, and instead it was the Astros getting the bye and not the Rangers. But kudos to them for putting them on the back burner and rising to the occasion.
All right, Mike, we'll stick with you. We'll stick with you, Mike. I had asked about any kind of compelling matchups. Now that we're kind of past the, you know, the wild card games, which are fun to watch, what do you see lining up with the division round one?
You know, I have liked the Diamondbacks all year long. I'm not saying the Diamondbacks are going to win the World Series, but they are an extremely fun team to watch. And going up against and quite frankly, I don't know what their record was this year against the Dodgers, obviously, an intra-divisional a battle going on the other side of the National League. But for me, the Diamondbacks are playing with house money. It's the Dodgers that have, let's face it, the Dodgers are in the have been in this situation, it seems like, every year this decade. And quite frankly, in my opinion, and I think Braves fans will agree with me, that I don't even count the Dodgers' 2020 World Series title because they only played 60 games in the regular season.
Right.
So I don't know. I think that the Diamondbacks could make it interesting.
Jackson, let's go to you as well. We're talking baseball before the bottom of the hour. We're past the wild cards heading to these divisional round playoffs. Any compelling matchups on your radar besides Philly and Atlanta?
You know, the Twins, I think they're a team to watch. And I think it was also kind of neat that in the wild card games are all sweeps. I think every series was a 2-0 sweep. So all your wild cards, you know, got an extra day's rest, was able to save some pitching, and sets them up a little bit better for this first round of, you know, the best of five series. So, but watch those Twins. They're a team that just kind of grinded their way through the season. They're another one, like Mike mentioned, on house money. It'd be interesting to watch those guys, see if they can make some noise.
Brad, I know I didn't mean to interrupt you when I wanted to go to Mike to continue, but let's go back to you on the division playoffs and some of your observations on baseball as we are in postseason now, fully in postseason play.
I just want to tell Mike did correct me, but I don't count the wild card as the playoffs. I hate this whole wild
now,
card.
Now, as a Marlin fan, that's insulting there.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm excited about this. I mean, of course, I want the Braves to pull it out, but I'm telling you, man, I'm excited about to see how this shakes out, because I think there's – I don't know if Mike agrees with this or not. He's more of a baseball guy than I – Jackson, of course, is too. But I think there's more parity in baseball now than ever. I feel like there is.
Yeah. What has happened is that teams that don't have as big of a payroll have figured it out, ways to compete. And it'll be interesting to see now that the Mets once again are undergoing management changes, how much money teams will continue to spend on big budgets when there's no guarantee there's going to be success. So I think the parity comes from sharper scouting from the smaller market teams.
I agree, and I thoroughly enjoy that more. I mean, and you're right, because I mean, some of these people, their payroll is double somebody else's, and you know, they're going home, and you know, these other guys are still in this thing, and they don't have anywhere near the amount of money. I love that crazy stat earlier this year, like where the Braves are paying six guys the same amount that the Mets are paying two, and you know, that's how you know. I mean, you know, the Mets are going to Met, and that's the biggest Met thing ever, right there. Other than Bobby Bonilla, that's the most Met thing ever.
Well, heading into the break here at the bottom of the hour, still got about a minute and a half. Mike, Braves had the best record in baseball, but as we know, going into postseason play, that means nothing.
Well, if you look at it, I'm one of those nerds that, you know, I'll sit down, like I said, for instance, the Rangers and the Rays, and I'll sit down on my couch because I'm home at 3 in the afternoon because I come in so early, and I'll have the laptop open, and I'll have the box score open and all the stats 0-0-0-0-0-0-0, and that's basically what it is. The Braves had a great regular season. Now it's a different season,
and it's a completely different dynamic. Yeah, the regular season is built for the long haul. You can go ahead and go through some ups and downs. It's okay if you have a little bit of a down streak. You're having a hard time with contact. You have those streaks where you may get 4 or 5 losses in a row, but you can't afford that in postseason play. You got to stay hot. This is a sprint.
Well, you just have to win 3 of the next 5 at the very least.
3 of the next 5. All right, we're going to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour here on Bartow Sports Zone, which means we've got to get caught up on news from Georgia News Network, get you your statewide headlines. We'll also catch you up on some local news as well. And then don't forget, tonight, we'll talk a little bit about it maybe when we come back, high school football. We have got week 7, but we have got a delayed start for the Cartersville game because they decided to turn it into a Peachtree TV Sports Network game of the week. So Cartersville and Cass are going to get some statewide broadcast time. It's 8:30, bottom of the hour, time for GNN. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Bartow Sports Zone. Mike Garcia and I having a good time in the studios. And we're going to continue to have that good time live on the air with our Bartow Sports Zone crew. We've got Jackson Hyde. We've got Brad Stevens, Mike Garcia. I'm Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson. Before we move on to some college football, we got to talk a little bit tonight. Jackson, you and I had a chance to already talk to the coaches, but it is kind of a special thing to have a spotlight on Cartersville and Bartow County with the game tonight at Wineman Stadium. It's going to be broadcast on Peachtree TV, which means we don't start broadcasting the Cartersville Cast game until 8.
You know, all four local teams are in town tonight. You got Woodland taking on Dalton there at Woodland, Adairsville. Obviously taking on a region opponent in Ridgeland at Adairsville tonight. You can listen to that game on Adairsville Sports Network. And obviously Bartow Sports Zone 2 will have some of that with David Archer will have the Woodland Dalton game. And then, of course, Cass Cartersville on WBHF, Peachtree TV, and then, of course, live at Wyoming Stadium. So it's going to be a fun night. Good weather. Looking forward to it.
Brad, it's something that's kind of neat for at least me watching us as a broadcaster. You know, we've covered all of the games for so long, and it's all been a radio medium. But to find the spotlight so many times on the Bartow County community, you've been a lifelong resident. What's that like, knowing that, you know, we've got the entire state of Georgia, if they're watching high school football on Peachtree TV, they're watching Cass in Cartersville tonight?
Yeah, who knew that would ever happen back in the 80s and 90s? But, yeah, it's pretty cool to know that they're going to be there to broadcast this game. I'm pumped about it. I hope it's going to be a good game for everybody to see and showcase Bartow County and Cartersville talent out there. And, you know, I didn't know that that was going to happen until I think yesterday when I saw it come across. And I was like, man, how times have changed. Can't believe that. So I'm real proud for both programs, coaches, staffs, players, top to bottom. It's going to be a special night.
Folks, just a reminder, all the other games are still a 7:30 kick, but because of the TV schedule and the way the formatting works, it's going to be an 8 o'clock start. And you heard Coach Steve Gates in our interview last hour. The only real hiccup, if you want to think of it, is some of those TV timeouts are a lot longer than they're used to on the field. So instead of having your 30-second or 60 seconds, you're going to have 3.5-minute TV timeouts. But, Jackson, that just means more of the state watching our teams play.
Absolutely. And one other thing, Alan, tonight, starting at 5 o'clock, from 5 to 7:30, in the Tabernacle Church parking lot right across from Wyman Stadium there, Etowah Valley Humane Society is hosting a Rivals to the Rescue tailgate. $5 plates. You get a hot dog from Scott's Barbecue. You get chips and a drink. There'll be tons of door prizes. It's going to be good weather. I encourage everybody to come out and support the Etowah Valley Humane Society and Rivals to the Rescue.
Love
great
it.
Thing to do with that tailgate tonight.
I'm glad you brought that up. As if any listener to this show, if they've been listening to me for more than a few months, you know at some point I'm going to talk about a dog. I'm going to have a dog survey, talk about my dogs. And I love doing anything I can to put a spotlight on EVHS. Brian Canty over there, the dog father, does a fantastic job. And the cooperation between Bartow Animal Control and our own shelter and working with so many groups and so many different rescue agencies to get us below that threshold to be able to consider ourselves the no-kill shelter, both for the animal control as well as for the Etowah Valley Humane Society. I mean, that's a huge thing. I know that's not sports, Jackson, but I'm an animal lover. I'm a dog lover. And, yeah, come on out early, grab your dinner, tailgate, and enjoy supporting. It's a win-win. You're getting a chance to have a great food, great time, and it's all going to support the Etowah Valley Humane Society.
Absolutely. Some great door prizes. There's going to be some Cartersville swag, some Cass swag, and Lake Point Sports has donated a VIP package to a lot of their events that are going to be taking place throughout the year. So it's a good time. Come out, good cause, and watch some good football.
All right, we got about 3 minutes till our break. Let's go ahead and introduce some college football discussion. Brad, I was wanting to text you during the Auburn game. I really was. And I was like, you know what? Brad has gotten himself so mellow, so chill. He has lived through the angst and the self-pity and all of the self-flagellation, the becoming a member of the Church of Opus Dei, right? What did you feel of the first half of that game versus watching the outcome?
Well, my mellowness was tested. I'll say that. I felt like we would come out on top. I always did. It was kind of annoying to see some of the play calling, and some of the miscues that we had. You saw them come back and dominate the fourth quarter as they've been doing. And, you know, that's what this Kirby team is going to do. Do we have the talent that we've had the last couple of years? No, I don't think so. And if it was, it's all freshmen right now, and they're still learning. We've had a lot of injuries, but we had some guys come back. So it was kind of inspiring because you go to a really tough road environment at Jordan-Hare where strange things always happen. And, you know, I'm not to blame the refs because we did win. There's nothing to blame them for. But saw some interesting no calls on a lot of holding and pass interference that seemed to go their way every time, as it always does over there. But outside of that, you know, I feel confident in this team. You know, I said it's not 21 and 22. We don't have a Jalen Carter. You know, we don't have a Jordan Davis. You know, but we have a lot of really good players out there who bought into this system and this culture. And I feel like we're going to continue to win. But we're going to get tested on Saturday. Kentucky's a tough physical team. That's what they do. They got a good running back in Ray Davis. They dominated Florida. And, you know, we better buckle our chin strap because they're going to come in hot.
All right, we'll talk a little bit about Kentucky after the break. Before we head to the break, I did want to comment on this and see your reaction. It was nice to see Brock Bowers suddenly break out in that game.
Yeah, I don't know if he was dinged up for the first couple of games. I know that. They wanted to save him. But, yeah, he had his coming out party for this season. He's already had several of those over the last couple of years. But his coming out party for this year just happened. And on his last touchdown, I mean, that was nothing but – talent and guts right there to drag himself into the end zone after playing the entire game and basically shaking out their entire secondary on this way in. So I'm pumped about him. You know, he's the best player in college football. He won't win the Heisman because he's a tight end, but he should, because I don't think there's a better football player than Brock Bowers right now.
I don't know that I disagree with you, and I think the broadcasters that I was listening to made some comment to that fact. All right, we got to take a break. Our final one. We'll back. We'll have a little more college football talk, and I guess we got to chat about the Atlanta Falcons go all the way to London to show us how to lose another football game. We'll be back with more of Bartow Sports Zone. And welcome back, everyone. Final segment of Bartow Sports Zone. Alan Sanders filling in for Charles Wilson, who's swinging some clubs and trying to make a name for himself in the golf world. I'm joined by our bench warmers. We've got Mike Garcia here in studios. We've got Brad Stevens, and we've got Jackson Hyde via our Zoom connection. And guys, we were talking we were talking a lot of Bulldogs action, a little college action. That wasn't the only game, though, last week, and we've got a couple of games this week. Brad, I'll go back to you to start this off. You started to mention Kentucky. Are you at all worried about playing Kentucky in a night game, or are we going to see the same thing we've been seeing from Georgia this entire season? And it kind of is a carryover from last season, where they kind of keep with a somewhat blasé play call. They go kind of anemic first quarter, and they just start to wear their opponents down physically, such by the end of the game, they can kind of have their way with them.
Yeah, this was going to be the toughest test of the year. I'm glad it's been happening. It was up in Lexington. I'd be definitely concerned. But I am definitely concerned about it, even though it's in Athens. This is, you know, Mark Stoops. You know, they don't hide what they do. They call it the big blue wall is going to come in there, and they're going to try to play smash mouth with us. And I think we're going to have a faster start against these guys because we may fall behind on this one in the beginning. Because these guys aren't playing around. They beat Florida 33-14 and it wasn't really even that close. And I'm genuinely concerned about the game. I think we have to come out hotter than we've been. But I think we're getting some guys back for this game who have been injured. It might change things for us a little bit and give us a better look than we had last week. I think Rod Robinson may be coming back off that ankle sprain. Ladd McConkey is going to come back. Well, he came back last week, but he was limited. I think he's going to have more of a role this time. So, you know, as long as that happens, I feel like we can win the game, but you know, we cannot let Ray Davis have another game like he did against Florida.
Jackson, let's bring you in. We didn't get a chance to weigh in on your thoughts on both the Auburn game, how that panned out, and then what your thoughts are heading into Kentucky this evening in Athens.
Yeah, you know, the Auburn game, like Brad mentioned, it crazy stuff happens over there. Georgia's traditionally a slow starter, seemed to be, and just like Brad mentioned, for tomorrow against Kentucky, a slow start could be detrimental. They're a team that's going to be able to slow the game down. They're going to limit Georgia's possessions with that running game. I think you'll see Mark Stoops snap the ball with about 3 or 4 seconds on the play clock every time, try to keep it close and give his team a chance in the fourth quarter. Small Mondin, kind of a local kid from Paulding County. It's good to see him. He had a great game last week, and I think he'll be a key this week as well, playing against the run there to slow down Ray Davis.
Mike, let's head over to you. We've got another week of college football coming our way. We've obviously spent some time talking about Georgia, Kentucky, but other compelling matchups from your perspective. I know you've got teams that you like to look at and pay some attention to.
Red River Shootout, man. Texas, Oklahoma. It's not even close. That is the game of the week. Texas, number 3 in the country. Oklahoma, number 1 in the country as far as who is annoyed most by Texas. I think those games, regardless of record, they always seem like they're going to be close. So I'm looking forward to it. Going to have to DVR it because I've been told I have to go to a kid's party. So Brad knows the deal, and so yeah, it'll be fun.
Brad.
Oh, I do know the deal. Yes. the kids' parties take precedence over everything. I agree with you about the Red River Shootout, though. My cousin used to work for the University of Oklahoma, and he didn't understand how to hate Texas until he moved out there. And that dude still hates Texas, and he works somewhere else now. But he said, you just don't understand the amount of hate between those two schools, and that's why it's always throw the records out. It doesn't really matter. This is pure unadulterated hatred. And I can appreciate that. I love a good rivalry like that.
Any other games that you're going to have on your radar for this weekend, Brad?
Well, honestly, I just focus on the dogs these days. Alan, I'm going to watch some of these other games, but I'm more focused on what's going on with us. I have put myself in a bunker for the last 2 years because everybody hates us now. And so I take that hate and I make a steak out of it and I eat it every single Saturday and I love it. So that's what I've been doing.
Jackson, we're running out of time here, but I want to make sure we will let you weigh in on this coming weekend of NCAA college football actions. Some of the games you're going to be putting on your television.
Obviously, Kentucky, Georgia is a game I'm going to pay attention to. The other one that might be curious is undefeated Maryland with Ohio State. It'd be interesting to see, might get a better picture of what Ohio State is and who they are this year. For the stretch run. So that'd be another one to kind of keep your eye on.
Yeah, Maryland's been putting up a lot of points with that other Tagovailoa under center. That's going to be fun. Let's see. If I'm a Vegas man, I'm putting all my chips on Illinois. If the ghost of Dick Butkus helped the Bears, he's probably going to help Illinois this week against Nebraska. And Georgia Tech, well, may the best team win. I think everyone knows who that would be.
Okay.
I was hoping we could go the whole show without talking about Georgia Tech. But, I guess you brought them in there, Mike.
Well, unfortunately, as always, there's more to talk about, but never enough time. Jackson Hyde, Brad Stevens, Mike Garcia, thanks so much for being here on Bartow Sports Zone. Thank you to our previous guests. We had Brandon Haywood and Coach Steve Gates, respectively of the Woodland Wildcats and the Cass Colonels. Cass and Cartersville tonight, 8 o'clock kick, but we will do a normal pregame start. All the other games start at 7:30. Thanks for being here, part of the Bartow Sports Zone listenership and WBHF AM 1450, 100.3 FM, Cartersville, Georgia.